the community is not fully recovered, but it certainly has rebounded, I would say, with a rapid rate and a great resilience.
Hey there, I'm Danielle Webster. We are back once again with another episode of Prairie Beat, our weekly news podcast from us here at Prairie Public. Usually Eric Dethridge is with me, but he's actually busy at this hour, so today you've just got me. Now, last week on the show, we talked about ongoing flooding in the Devil's Lake Basin. This week, we will be talking about flooding once again, but this time in Texas Hill Country. We actually have a North Dakota contact in Kerrville, Texas. I follow a lot of storm chasers on the internet, extreme weather people on social media, and I've been seeing a lot of posts and activity about extremely severe rains happening down there. It's actually been a little over a year exactly now since an extreme flood caused widespread devastation in the same exact manner in the very same place. So just to refresh your memory, it was an absolutely horrible situation that unfolded down in Texas Hill Country, perhaps most notably leading to the tragic loss of life at a summer camp. Now, when that happened, we contacted Kristen Hedger. She is vice president of Killdeer Mountain Manufacturing, which has operations in both Dickinson, North Dakota, and Kerrville, Texas. And she actually grew up in both places. Now, Kristen splits her time between the two states as well. She was able to talk to us about the rains and flooding that unfolded last summer, as her condo there actually overlooks the Guadalupe River. I thought of her immediately this morning, and I shot her a text to see if she would talk to us again, and she said yes. It's a pretty dangerous and rapidly changing, evolving situation. When I called her this morning, actually, she said two emergency alerts came up on her phone at the very same time.
One of the biggest things, I think, in the region is we have what are called low water crossings. What they are, just bridges, usually are completely fine. But when you have an elevated situation with the Guadalupe, for example, those will get covered up. And sometimes people might think that, you know, oh, it only looks like there's a foot or so. I can make it. Well, then that's a bad thing. So a lot of the alerts will say, please, you know, if it's over that low water crossing, don't cross it. Because oftentimes you think you can make it and your car will get swept away.
The heavy rains started yesterday, continued overnight, and are ongoing right now. Flooding is going on all the way up from Uvalde, up through Hondo, Kerrville, where Kristen is located, and into San Antonio. And one thing that is pretty interesting, too, is that this morning, Kristen said there were actually tornadoes in San Antonio.
That's incredibly rare. In North Dakota, I mean, growing up, I saw a number of tornadoes. We've all seen them, right? We're kind of accustomed to that phenomenon. But the hill country doesn't ever really get them because the hills sort of break up that weather pattern.
Now, we in the newsroom talk to our local National Weather Service offices often, and today I had an idea. I called down to the Austin and San Antonio National Weather Service to see if they could explain why this is happening. I remembered the storms from last year and how there was something to do with the Gulf. A meteorologist named Corey Van Pelt answered my call this morning, and he explained exactly what's going on.
Yeah, it's not too dissimilar from last year, the overall concept. We have these small-scale low-pressure systems. Because during the summer, the upper-level flow is weak, they sort of get stuck and they just meandered here. So that's acting as the trigger. And, of course, we've had a ton of moisture off the Gulf that feeds into these. And just the fact that they've not moved very much and repeatedly triggered these thunderstorms has led to a whole bunch of rainfall and the flooding that resulted.
Van Pelt says rainfall totals in Uvalde County, for example, have been estimated at up to 14 to 16 inches so far. And they've issued a lot of flash flood warnings and watches throughout the region that are ongoing as the storms persist. Van Pelt says the rains will continue for another 24 hours or so, and then they're supposed to end, and hopefully they'll have a chance to dry out after that. Kristen pointed out that part of the reason why these floods get so out of control, in addition to the naturally large amounts of rainfall, is the terrain. Texas Hill Country has a lot of limestone throughout instead of the fertile topsoil that we are familiar with here in North Dakota, especially in the Red River Valley. And so that water rushes down that limestone almost like a water slide. As this emergency continues to unfold, we will learn more about everything that takes place. But I wanted to ask Kristen Hedger, too, you know, it's been exactly a year since those July 4th floods from last summer. How have the communities been doing? And she described to me people who are still suffering.
have a friend of mine who sadly was in Hunt, Texas, and her family got swept up in the flood, and she lost, she was a grandmother who sadly lost her daughter, her son-in-law, and her grandchildren. She was able to cling to a tree and weather out the storm. To this day, she can't even look at the Guadalupe River. So these rainstorms like this bring back some feelings of that mournfulness.
Now, despite having gone through some unthinkable tragedies, Kristen Hedger also described a very resilient and faithful community. She said while residents there are very apprehensive of these heavy rains and fearful as well, they are also eager to jump into action to protect each other and support one another. And she was quick to describe gratitude that Texans feel toward their neighbors in North Dakota, because as you might also recall, North Dakota's own National Guard provided aid and support to the region last summer. She says this summer, on the 4th of July, there was, of course, a lot of excitement around being able to commemorate the 250th anniversary of the United States, even though there was an underlying somber tone on the one-year anniversary of those floods. She says Texas Governor Greg Abbott attended a local symphony event there for that community and emphasized many of the great partnerships and support the region received during those times.
Our National Guard was tremendous in providing great support for search and rescue, providing visibility through our use of our Predators and our great Air National Guard. I mean, that was just, we remained so appreciative of that. And our governor highlights that. The close relationship with Armstrong and Abbott.
She made sure to say that North Dakotans can be very proud of how their National Guard and governor supported those rural communities in Texas last year during that scary time. And with these flooding rivers and flash floods, as we know, they will subside. And when that happens, these Texas Hill Country residents will once again be working to maybe not recover just yet, but certainly rebound. So in the meantime, obviously, we are not only watching what's unfolding from up here in North Dakota, we are certainly sending our best wishes to our neighbors in Texas and more than likely looking for ways we can support them once again. Thank you so much to Kristen Hedger today for taking my call and talking to us about this scary situation unfolding in her backyard. And thank you all for listening to Prairie Beat once again this week. In the newsroom here at Prairie Public, we've been working on a number of stories ranging from the ongoing heat wave across the state, the status of the state's economy amid the continuing conflict in Iran, and even state officials in North Dakota highlighting resources for residents to learn more about the emerald ash borer and the threat it poses to the state's ash trees. For more news, you can be sure to tune in to Prairie Public or check out our online newsroom at news.prairiepublic.org. That's a wrap for this week's episode of Prairie Beat. I'm Danielle Webster. Eric Dethridge should be back with us next time. Until then, we'll see you on the beat next week.